Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One alive, one dead. One fictional. It's up to you who you choose. You pick them all. It's up to you who you choose. You pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party. And it's your guest list.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick three. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. Now, this week I am joined by Tom Lucy. It's such a fun episode, but just a little side note that we recorded it a while ago before I got this new microphone. So, again, you will notice a slight difference in sound quality, not content quality. It's a really good, fun episode. Tom and I, we actually talk about this in the podcast. We sort of started out together and we both got signed by the same agency around the same time. So we've always sort of kept in touch as we've gone along. Haven't seen him for a while, for obvious reasons. But it was really fun and I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. I'm not going to talk for long at the top here. I'll be honest, I'm running a bath. But please enjoy my conversation with Tom Lucy.
This looks like a YouTube conspiracy channel, doesn't it? All we need is, I need like a massive Union Jack flag behind me.
What, instead of that swastika?
Instead of... I was thinking just before coming on here that you're one of the, I don't want to get too deep too early, but I think you were like one of the first comedians I met way back.
When you were still at uni.
In the late 80s. No, it was...
During, like, the alternative scene.
Yeah, it was sort of me, you and like Stuart Lee and Alexi Sale all coming up together. No, but I think it was at the Wedgwood Rooms in Portsmouth.
It was with Simon Evans.
Yeah, and we met and I was really young. I was like 18 or maybe even 17. I don't know.
And we'd both just been picked up by Curb and had absolutely idea what was going on.
Yeah, that's right. We were both so like full of hope and excited and now it's all gone.
We used to message each other a lot every time we got a gig.
I don't remember that, did we?
Yeah. Just go on, really? Just got another one in. Yeah, have you done... Because we'd be checking if the other person had done it yet.
Yeah, yeah. But we were doing those, like, sort of the trial gigs, weren't we? Where they were sort of testing you out a bit.
Well, what happens is... This is for the listener. I'm not just going to explain to you what happened in case you've forgotten. But usually an act would do half... Like, some of them, mentally, you're booked for half an hour. Which, yeah. I remember calling them the first time I got one of those to check and they said, no, don't worry. Actually, probably shouldn't put that on there. But anyway. But they just said to me, don't panic, it's fine.
Yeah. And then...
and then...
Yeah.
But they used to give me and you just used to go there and do 15s.
That's right, yeah.
We would share the slot and the money.
We would like tag team the middle section. Yeah.
I remember comedy double act.
Quite a few of those, didn't we?
Do you want to name them all?
I probably can. I mean, Southend, Haywards Heath, Portsmouth, Aylesbury.
All the waterside.
The waterside in Aylesbury.
I actually like that one. That's really nice.
No, to be fair, that is a good one.
I've got very, very lucky in that I only ever did one foyer. Every other time, they managed to move it into the main room.
Really? That's good.
And I had the same thing with outdoor gigs this year. every time I went to do one, the weather was so bad. They moved it indoors. So I did.
Oh, great!
I did Crawley Heath, and we're supposed to be outside. Me, Susie, and Joel. And moved inside to 200 people and 600 seater.
I had exactly the same thing.
It was lovely.
Elliot Steele and Ivo Graham did the main theatre to about 100 people. All like
Crawley.
The horse in Crawley, all spread out. I did do quite a few outdoor gigs back in the summer. I also did a couple of drive-in ones that were.
Oh, you did them.
I did a couple of I did Chelmsford Racecourse, two shows.
How many cars is that?
Do you know what? It was quite. I didn't think it'd be that many cars, but there was probably about 300 cars in each show. It was quite big.
That's a traffic jam.
Yeah, it was. And there was like a 5 o'clock show and then an 8 o'clock show. And the 5 o'clock show was just horrific for everyone because none of us knew how to do it. And then by the 8 o'clock...
comedy.
Yeah, comedy, yeah. You'd kind of sort of worked out that they beep when they find something funny. And then in the second show, I remember thinking on stage, oh, that joke got a bigger beep in the first show. And I was already sort of judging it by the beeps. I mean, we don't know. It might have been an angry beep, not a happy beep.
It'd be quite nice if you, the next day when you stalled on a roundabout and just thought you were getting an ovation.
yeah. So bizarre. I think that when I look back at this year, you know, in 10 years' time, I think that drive-in gig will be my main memory of this year.
That was the weirdest thing, yeah, because I only did one drive-in, hated it.
Which one did you do?
I don't know. It was down southwest. I don't think it was. I can't remember where it was. But I want to say like despised it and them. Yeah. But no, I will. Yeah. Did you get any drive outs? I wanted a drive out just so I could say I got a drive out.
No, but I did think that would be the worst heckle. It's just the sound of a car starting. Or someone turning the radio on, switching it to Capital FM.
Well, I did. I was doing some Michael Jackson material, Anti, in case you're wondering.
Topical.
And so someone started playing his music.
Did they?
Yeah. I was really hoping they were going to reverse out because it'd be like they were doing the moonwalk in a car.
Did you say that on stage?
Yeah.
That's good.
Got all the beeps.
Did you get loads of beeps? Yeah, I love that. I haven't done so many the outdoor ones because a lot of them, like you say,
they wouldn't book you.
Yeah, they didn't want to book me mainly after the drive-in gig. The word travels quickly in this industry, so I managed to avoid a lot of those outdoor ones. But I did a couple.
To be honest, the whole pandemic thing, didn't really mind it. I'll just go. I'll sit at home. I'll read. I'll do whatever. But I didn't really read. I watched. But
I'll read.
I'll read. Sure. But I'm like, I don't.
Like
I
you're
didn't
in
mind
jail,
it at
all. Like sort of like solitary confinement.
Just read and do press ups. Bounce a ball against a wall. I'm fine.
Reading Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom.
Mein Kampf. I it was when I started to gig that it really hit me that like the world had changed. That's when it really sort of affected me, when I could sort of leave the house.
Yeah. And how did you approach it in terms of, because I gigged with some comics who came back after the lockdown and completely ignored the fact that there was a virus happening and just did their 20 minutes that they've had for 30 years. And I was watching it going, that is insane. You've not even mentioned the fact that anything's happened. I just find that insane.
I was really hoping that would sort of separate the wheat from the chaff. What's the saying? The wheat from the chaff.
Wheat from the chaff, yeah.
Yeah. Because you'd know people who can't write anything new or haven't bothered.
Yeah.
There was one act, again, who shall remain nameless. Started doing stuff about being in a nightclub.
Did he say, last week I was in a nightclub?
Just the other day.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, tiger. But I at least changed my bouncer stuff to pretend I was at Sainsbury's.
Yeah,
at least some of the work.
You just take old material and slightly tweak it. So you say stuff like, oh, I've been spending a lot of time with my family, obviously, because of the virus. I'll tell you about my dad. And then you just do all your old dad stuff.
Yeah. I was walking down the street the other day with a mask on, staying socially distanced, when I...
I've seen some people have incredible sort of stuff about it. I did a gig with Phil Wang, and he had like 30 minutes of new material about the lockdown that was all like amazing. And then I did a gig with Sean as well, Sean Walsh.
Oh, yeah.
He had loads of stuff about lockdown that was all really great. So you sort of you watch those people and you think, well, there's not really any excuse. At least like try, at least have a go at something new.
At least mention it.
Yeah, some people just didn't even acknowledge it had happened.
Annoyingly, what I wanted to do was get a brand new 20 by the end of February. That was my aim for the year. I would have made another go after that, but I just mean that was my that was my aim.
You were going to stop in March.
Put my feet up, wait for the fringe to come around. But I did that on March the 15th. And then that was the last gig I did for about 5 months.
Oh, really?
Did it once, and then it was completely out of date.
Yeah,
without,
so depressing.
Bragging, I did get a new 20 from the lockdown. But what I'll have to do, I think, is when I go to Edinburgh, I'll just do. I'll have to find a way to do old stuff, or just pretend that like I'll do the show that would have, you know, what the like sliding doors. This is what a comedy would have been like without it the virus.
It's weird because I did a preview, and I did an hour preview at Always Be Comedy, which is
lovely,
like, which we know is one of the best gigs around. And I did like a, because I didn't do Edinburgh last year, so I've had like almost two years off, so I've got a lot of stuff since
you've
I last
no excuses.
Did a,
yeah.
did a show. So I did this preview and it went really well. And I sort of came out and I was like, oh, it's February. And I feel like I've already got sort of a lot of stuff. And then, you know, like a couple of weeks later, we went into a national lockdown and then Edinburgh got cancelled. And now I'm in this position where I'm like, I don't know how much of this stuff feels relevant anymore. Like it just feels weird to just have a whole show about stuff that's nothing to do with what's gone on for the last 10 months.
Well, that's it. Exactly. Because, well, I don't know if you've ever been relevant, but certainly it would have been a shame if you'd attempted it. I reckon we should start doing the actual podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks for coming on, obviously.
Pleasure.
When I thought of the guests I want to start with, you were one of the first names on there. Because I think we always have a laugh, and I thought, well, I think just calling you up out of the blue would have been weird. So I just thought, well, if I pretend I'm doing a podcast, I'll be able to chat to him. Came up with this whole format.
This is not a podcast. That's sweet. So it's basically just a catch-up, is it?
My uncle's wondering why he's coming on next.
My strange dad is coming on next.
Tom, I think you're quite a... quite a sociable boy. Do you do you go to many dinner parties?
More recently than I have been.
Well, we're currently in a lockdown, so how recently?
I mean, not like in the I just mean generally. Obviously not in the lockdown. I'm not confessing to government guidelines. But I would say a lot of my friends are really getting into dinner parties recently. A lot of people are like hosting dinner parties, and it's quite fun. I quite like it.
People are sort of turning the back on the nose out. They're not turning their nose on the night out. Hold on, what? There's two phrases I could have used.
You've mixed up two phrases. It's a bit like the wheat from the chaff one as well. You don't know any phrases. Is that going to be like the running joke of this podcast, that you get every phrase wrong?
I'll get other people who can't do phrases as well, and there will be like two peas in a pan. I didn't commit to either saying, and I came up with literally none. So
I think you were saying a lot of people are turning their nose up at nights out. Is that right?
That's the one. It was either that or turning their back on it. Both the same. Neither came out. But you're
turning their back and their noses up
at the idea of a night out.
I wonder if dinner parties will become more popular after this, because
after this podcast
and generally after the lockdown, people might be a bit nervous about going into big crowded places. I don't know.
I think that it will, because, well, for one, legal reasons.
Yeah.
If you're going to meet up with six people, have a dinner party rather than a night out.
Sure.
But also, I think after this, people have probably realised it's actually quite fun just to drink in your living room.
It is fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Because it'll just be like over Zoom, but in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just selling the idea of real life to people there, in case they can't quite get to grips with what it is anymore. It's like Zoom, but without the laptop. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm relatively new to the world of drinking in the house, because normally, like, before any of this virus was happening, you know, I was out doing gigs like most nights.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if I had a night off doing gigs, I would go out and do something with someone. I would very rarely.
Very vague.
Yeah, dogging is what I'm talking about. But I would very rarely stay in for the night and just do nothing.
Yeah.
So it's been
I didn't really have alcohol at home until this, and now I really enjoyed. I started with White Russians, so I'd have the Kahlua, the milk, and the vodka. I'll just give the ingredients.
Oh, you're making those in the house.
I was making them in the house, and then I realised I might as well just buy.
Well,
yeah, and then I kept doing it, and I thought I might as well just buy a bottle of Baileys. It's the same thing, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably not, but you know what I mean. All I wanted clearly was some milk and alcohol.
I was put in charge of making Halloween cocktails for some people that we had coming over for Halloween, and I was Googling all these recipes and trying to work out all the. It was all like, you know, pumpkin spiced rum and all of all of this bollocks, and it was all too complicated. So I basically ended up making cranberry vodkas and just telling people it was blood. I was like, is that Halloween-y enough? Vodka cranberries? People were like, no, that's not a cocktail. People drink that all the time.
I thought I'd really get into cocktails during lockdown, and every single one I Googled was just always that one or two extra ingredient that I couldn't be bothered with.
Yeah, that's the problem I had.
There's always just one thing that you go, why would I have that?
Yeah, it was like, you've got one of them. I was looking at ones that were like, you need to shave off bits of pumpkin.
That's it. Done.
So I'm not doing
that.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Stop there. I'm not doing it.
I'll buy glasses with a little pumpkin on the front.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, honestly, all that stuff you just don't need. Because I've just got Jamie Oliver's cookbook, the one that's five ingredients. So every meal has just got five ingredients. Because otherwise, I'd Google this recipe to make something, and then I'd get maybe sixth or seventh ingredient down and have never heard of it, and I wouldn't even know which I'm sure you can't get that in Sainsbury's.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tom, you know the format. Can I just ask, did you find it difficult choosing?
I did, actually. Yeah, I did. Because there was a lot of people I wanted to pick. And I'm still not sure if the ones I've gone for are the right options. But I had about 10 options for each three categories. So I've just picked random from that 10, but we can talk about
fair.
It.
We could talk through it. Well, what I've done, I thought would be a bit of fun each episode, is I've in this envelope,
Yeah,
it's written on the back of it, but I've actually predicted.
I've guessed
three.
Oh,
so
that's
one,
fun.
One,
that's good.
One alive,
good.
One dead, and one fictional that you might have chosen.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Okay, Tom. There's been a knock at the door. It's the first guest of the evening. It's your alive guest. So who's at the door?
There was a lot of options, and
about 7 billion.
Yeah, there's 7 billion options. And I'm slightly worried that the one I've chosen is a bit sort of basic for a comedian to choose. I tell you who it's my the alive choice that I was going to pick was going to be Eddie Murphy. Because I've always been quite obsessed with Eddie Murphy, and he was kind of I used to weirdly watch his stand-up a lot when I was younger, which I think is people find weird because I'm not similar to Eddie Murphy in any way.
It'd be quite hard for you to relate to anything he says.
Exactly.
So I assume you discovered him via his films.
Yeah, I did. But then I went back and watched, you know, like Delirious, and he's got a special called Raw, I watched those when I was like 14, 15, and that was a massive reason, weirdly, why I wanted to start doing stand up, even though, you know, he's from a different country and from a completely different background and talks about things that I can't really relate to. I just thought he was so incredible. And I've always been quite obsessed with him. And I find him really interesting because there's not a lot we know about Eddie Murphy still to this day. He's not really done many interviews or any stand-up since like the 80s. So, yeah, I just think he's someone I'd like to talk to.
Do you think people would assume that you had been heavily influenced by Eddie Murphy? Obviously, when we met at the Wedgwood Dreams and you wear that big red leather onesie,
Maybe it'd
gone on to influence you a little bit.
No, that's what's weird about it, is that I don't think anyone would ever guess that I liked Eddie Murphy so much, but... And to be honest, some of his stand-up has dated quite badly.
Yeah, but so is yours. And what do you think about him coming back? Do you reckon he should?
I mean, obviously, I'd like him to, but if I was him, I probably wouldn't.
I don't think I would.
Like, what have you got to gain? You're already this, like, you're already a sort of an icon. The only thing that you can do is ruin it. You can't get any better.
Oh, thanks, mate.
So you're just gonna take that clip and just add it to a different section. I don't know. But then you can say that about, you know, there are loads of great bands that are still touring, and you sort of think, why would they bother? But
yeah, but it's a bit like, it's the problem is if you go away.
Yeah. Although I've seen some old, like, seen like the Rolling Stones, and I've seen Bruce Springsteen, and they're all like old legends, and they're still touring, and it's still great. So I don't know. Maybe, and you know, I would go and see like Jerry Seinfeld, and he's been around for ages, and
it's just kept going. That's the difference, though. They've kept going.
It's the stopping, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I can barely be bothered to get back to it. I've had 6 months off, so. He's had 30 years. So did you say you would pick him, or you were going to? Is he your choice?
No, that is my choice.
That is your choice.
Yeah, no, there were other options. There were lots of other options, but I think on balance, I would pick Eddie Murphy. I also think he's got quite, I'm interested in people who have got sort of, I mean, you'll see this from my other two choices, but I'm interested in people who have quite unusual personal lives. I find that quite interesting when you meet someone and you know that they've had quite a colourful life.
Have you ever seen the picture of him eating steak off a woman?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all aged badly, but I think it's It's interesting. And also a lot of the best comedians that are working today, when you hear them being interviewed, they all talk about Eddie Murphy being like their inspiration as well, which is pretty cool.
Are you a big fan of his films? Shrek the Third?
Some of them. Shrek's great. not so much the films, more the stand-up, but I mean, there's some great ones. I'm also not, I think you can look at anyone's career and pick out shit things they've done, haven't you?
Yeah, certainly. And Tom's available on YouTube. There's plenty out there. Well, it's a lovely first guest that I could only agree with. I would love to meet Eddie Murphy. What would you expect him to be like?
I would expect him to be quite... The only time I've really sort of seen him interviewed properly recently was on that Seinfeld Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee show. And he came across as quite sort of shy and quite quiet and quite sort of calm. Which was weird because he's quite hyper on stage. But then again, he was 21 when he was doing stand up, and he's now like, you know, in his 50s. So
yeah.
I guess you do change, don't you? Generally,
is that what you say to him?
Yeah, that's what I say. You've changed.
Can you be the old you? I've got this outfit ironed and everything. I've got this dry cleaned for you.
I mean, Seinfeld does talk to him about all the old stage outfits he used to wear, it is great. But I mean, he was like 20 or 21 when he filmed those specials.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, that in itself is insane, that you watch those and he's 21 when he's doing it.
Has he done many podcast appearances?
No.
I'm not thinking of getting him on. But,
you're going to try and get him on? no, he hasn't. I don't think he has. Which again, I really like that. I really like that old school kind of old school celebrity where you didn't really know anything about them. They didn't have social media. They weren't being interviewed all the time. And there's that mystery around people that I really like. I don't want to know what everything about everyone. But there are some people now that do it really well. There are some famous people now that still I think have that element of mystery. There are some people in our profession now
who do the opposite.
Well, yeah, there are lots of people who do the opposite, but there are people like McIntyre, who I think is amazing at walking that line between, you know, us really liking him but also not really knowing anything about him, which I find really fascinating, that whenever he's interviewed, it's all just about comedy. He never gives away anything personal.
I mean, obviously, I know quite a bit about him from touring with him, but I don't really want to bring it up.
I mean, you can tell us about it. But
no, that's what I'll do. I'll get a bit of a following on here, and then I'll do a tell-all podcast.
I think
it's a powerful thing to do, actually. And I think that the good thing about not putting yourself out there so much is whoever you are in people's heads, you will continue to be.
Mm. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Rather than just seeing them making a sandwich on Instagram Live.
Yeah, I don't want to know what, you know, everyone's having for breakfast.
Yeah.
So people like Prince, you know, no one knows what Prince had for breakfast. If Prince was, you know, a singer starting now, he'd be Instagram storying his whole life and we'd know everything about him. But I don't want to know. I want that element of like mystery and I think that's exciting.
Imagine it would be porridge, but with water, not milk.
Do you think?
I reckon. It's up for debate. email in.
Email in, yeah.
What would Prince have for breakfast? And there's another knock at the door. This time it's the guest who's no longer with us. It's your choice for your dead guest. So who's at the door?
I have picked Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, wow. Okay, well.
Are you familiar with Hunter S. Thompson?
Very familiar with Hunter. Well, I'll say very. I'm familiar. to that point. Yeah. But I've read his work. What's your favourite Hunter S. Thompson book?
I really like The Rum Diary.
Me too. It's my favourite one.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I think a terrible decision to make into a film, because I think it makes absolutely no sense as a film.
Although it starred your man Johnny Depp, didn't it?
It did, yes. And and what's his name? The guy that was a Phoebe's brother in Friends and then went off to be... he was in Avatar. What's his name?
Oh, I don't know.
No, don't know. Can I get it on IMDb quick enough to keep this anecdote alive?
Email in. Email in if you know. It didn't do very well, the film, did it?
No. Oh, that's his name. Giovanni Ribisi. And Aaron Eckhart. But yeah, I love the idea of that book, that lifestyle.
This goes back to my thing I was saying about people who've lived quite strange lives. And I think he kind of embodied that, didn't he? That kind of sort of debaucherous life.
Yeah, and when his ashes sent up in fireworks at his funeral.
Johnny Depp shot them out of a cannon.
I must say, we believe it was Hunter S. Thompson's, he asked for that to happen. I don't think Johnny Depp was there.
It would be quite disrespectful to do that without the person asking.
Without any sort of previous agreement. Hopefully he told his family.
But then the way he, because he shot himself, that's how he died. Spoiler alert. But apparently he was with his family in his house. They're all watching TV and he just went into the kitchen and they thought he was getting a drink. And then they just heard a shotgun and he had just walked into the kitchen and shot himself. Pretty insane, really. But I mean, I've read lots of books about him and I've watched lots of documentaries about him and I find it all really interesting. And I think he would be a great person to have at a dinner party because I think he would turn it into complete mayhem. Which would be fun.
He would certainly make up for it if Eddie Murphy was being a bit shy.
Yeah, I think he would bring Eddie out of his shell.
Yeah, and if he wouldn't, I think the stuff he'd bring with him would.
Yeah, I think he would... I remember hearing Johnny Depp talk about how he met Hunter S. Thompson for the first time, and he said he walked into a bar with a cattle prod that had live electricity running through it. And he was moving people out of the way with a catapult. So I'd like him to come to the dinner party in that sort of fashion.
You'd want that. See, when I hear stories like that, I think, oh, that's like a mad cool thing to hear about. But I would have I would either been annoyed if I was the one that was prodded, or I'd be so embarrassed if I was with him. I was being behind him going, I'm so sorry. Honestly, I'm sorry. Sorry. So it's nice to imagine that I'd have been like, yeah, crazy. I'll get the shots in. But
I've heard, I think it was Dave Chappelle talk about how, because there's all these crazy stories about Dave Chappelle doing mad stuff like that, in the same way that there's loads of stories about Hunter S. Thompson. And I've heard Dave Chappelle say that it's very deliberate decision. He basically thinks of the weirdest thing that he could do in any situation and then does it because he knows that everyone's going to tell that as a story. They're all going to go, oh, have you heard what Dave did? And it's not him. He knows he's doing it. It's a conscious decision.
Yeah, right, to build sort of a legend. It's like there's the famous sort of internet anecdote, isn't it, of Bill Murray. Do you know this one?
There's loads of Bill Murray stories, aren't there?
The walked into the diner and took a guy's chip and just said, no one will ever believe you.
I don't know if
did that happen or is that just like a cool story that people put on someone?
With Bill Murray, there's loads of stories people have put on the internet about weird things Bill Murray has done to them.
So yeah.
There's stories about him like going to college house parties and just doing the washing up in the kitchen and people being like, is Bill Murray washing up in the kitchen? And he just does it because he knows it's going to fuck with people and he enjoys that.
I think there is a video of him, isn't there, doing karaoke with people. He just went into a karaoke bar and just joined in and just had a big night. Just means you'd be quite disappointed if you saw him somewhere and he just didn't do anything. He was just at the post office and he just sent a letter and left.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? You set the bar too high.
He played Hunter S. Thompson, didn't he? Have you seen that? Where the Buffalo Roam?
Yes, not for a while, but yeah, I have seen that. Yeah,
I had that in a sort of a, it was a weird. It wasn't even a box set. It came with Fear and Loathing, Where the Buffalo Roam, and then some sort of like It was almost like a, it looked like a Hunter S. Thompson sort of end of year annual.
Yeah. A Hunter S. Thompson calendar. Are you quite into Hunter S. Thompson as well then?
I was, certainly when I was at uni, I remember really getting into him. And then I remember the Killers song, Are We Human or Are We Dancer? That was one of his quotes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I remember he was like, it's just a, it was a very cool reference point. I think he always will be. But certainly I got, I think I did a lot of, you know, when you do the sort of the deep dives and I would just sort of love reading about him. Reading his work. And I think a lot of people say, actually, I don't know if you agree, but people say that the film is one of the few times where the film's better than the book, but only because it was so well, such a good visualization of what was happening.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I agree, actually. And certainly Rum Dives is the other way.
There's a great there's an artist called Ralph Steadman who did all the illustrations in all of his books, all those weird drawings that were in
his
books.
He was like his Quentin Blake.
Exactly, yeah. And I've got a couple of his drawings which are quite cool.
Oh, have you?
You should look at Ralph Steadman if you like all that stuff.
Is he still going?
Yeah, he's still alive, yeah. The Johnny Depp posted a Sky Arts documentary where he went to his studio and like did a whole documentary about Ralph Steadman, and they tell loads of amazing stories about Hunter S. Thompson. It's worth a watch. So that's quite an eclectic dinner party already, isn't it? Eddie Murphy and Hunter S. Thompson. I mean, that's going to get interesting, isn't it?
Hunter S. Thompson, I imagine, could be the sort of person that would either come and be the life and soul of the party, you have a great time, or he'll turn up, use your toilet and leave, and then there's nothing you can do about
it. I imagine he might just not come.
That's the other one. Bit of a risk. But if he doesn't turn up, just let me know. I'll turn up with like my big sunglasses on, a Hawaiian shirt and a bottle of tequila.
Okay, deal.
Right, yeah, so it's an eclectic bunch.
It's about to get even more weird.
Right, who's coming? Nemo.
Nemo's coming, yeah. What would be funny is to get Eddie Murphy and then his character Donkey in Shrek as well, and have them meet each other.
It's nice because it's sort of a nice time through your life where you've realised who you've been into. Another knock at the door, the last of the evening. It's the fictional guest. And enlighten the audience, who's knocking?
I took fictional to mean it can be from a book or a film or anything.
Oh, you took the word fictional as it's meant?
To mean fictional, yeah.
Oh, Hunter S. Thompson will love you in your crazy mind.
Yeah.
I love the way you think, kid.
Yeah. I probably didn't need to go through that. So I took fictional to mean fictional.
And just to clarify, Hunter S. Thompson is in fact actually dead.
Yeah, and I took that to mean dead as in passed away, as in not alive anymore. So I've picked Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Blimey. Okay. I mean, not only a mad choice, but I was very off the mark.
Well, I'm really interested to hear what you thought, but I'm really into that film. Me and my mates love that film, not because we're all psychopaths. I think he would be a fun person to have at a dinner party, provided he didn't kill anyone. Imagine that. I mean, that's a great dinner party, isn't it? I found it quite a seminal moment for me.
Quite a hero of mine.
Yeah, yeah. No, one of my best mates are sort of really obsessed with it, and we always quote it to each other. That's one of my favorite films in general, and I find that character really, really amazing. So but you know what it is, I'm not into horror films at all. I don't like horror films, but I like films that are funny horror. Like I think American Psycho is funny.
American Psycho is amazing. Well, apparently Christian Bale got the role because he was the only person that turned up and realised it was a comedy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is a brave thing to say. Yeah. If they just went, no, it's not.
Not only would you not get the job, you'd get sectioned.
How'd the audition go? Not well.
It is amazing. Yeah, I'm into that. That kind of like comedy horror stuff.
It's quite a sinister vibe when Patrick Bateman turns up. You wouldn't want him to get there first.
No, no. I think Patrick Bateman and Hunter S. Thompson would get on well.
I think they would. I think it would end up with you and Eddie Murphy sort of either locked in your bedroom, barricaded away, or dead.
Well, I mean, I'd be focused on the food. I'd be in the kitchen doing all the nibbles.
What are you cooking for Eddie Murphy, Hunter S. Thompson, and Patrick Bateman?
It's got to be something meat-based. Well, maybe Eddie Murphy, I feel like, might be a vegan because he's quite LA now, isn't he? But,
right. But
Hunter and Pat Bateman are all about the meat, aren't they?
Imagine Hunter S. Thompson would love a big bit of meat on the middle of the table and a big carving knife.
Yeah.
And he would sort of do it with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Mm. I definitely let Hunter carve.
Oh, yeah. Although Patrick Bateman would be pretty good. I might just be an absolute mess.
He'd just be covered in blood.
Just really hacking at it.
I might create a playlist of music like Sussutio for Pat Bateman as he comes into the house.
This is a dark turn for your character. To
quite a dark dinner pie, isn't it? I would imagine your guesses were quite far off, were they?
Very far. Should we go through my guesses?
Yeah,
now,
I'm excited about
that. I will tell you this one. There is one that is a slight crossover, and I wasn't far off the mark, okay. Which was that you went for the for your alive person, Eddie Murphy, and for your dead person, I went with Richard Pryor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a decent guess. That would have been on the list. Although I'm worried that Richard Pryor is quite a... When you get a comedian onto this show, Richard Pryor is quite a basic answer, isn't it? I imagine you'll get a lot of comedians saying Richard Pryor.
Well, when they do say that, I'll let them know that you said it's basic.
Yeah, please do.
But I am expecting it. Although I do wonder if, because it's so expected, that everyone will avoid it.
Yeah, well, that's what I did.
Which is what you did. Just go for someone else. Just panic and go for Kevin Hart. So... so when you went for Eddie Murphy as you're alive, I went for David Attenborough.
Okay.
Because I just assumed that you're somebody who would just, well, obviously big into him. I just thought that I thought you'd be especially into him. I imagine he's somebody who you just
really
think is, yeah, it's just because you do like I guess he's a bit of an enigma. You know, when he's not with the animals, don't really know what he's up to. He's got Instagram,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't think he's in charge of it.
I think someone else runs it.
Yeah. but yeah, so I thought you'd go for him, especially because, I don't know.
Do I seem like someone who would be into David Attenborough?
I thought you'd be real. I just imagine that you're the sort of person who would binge his documentaries just again and again.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought, but apparently it's not. It's...
No, I do. No, I do like David Attenborough. Do you know what? When I was a bit younger, a couple of people when I was younger used to say that I looked a lot like his brother, Richard Attenborough. I used to get that from a couple of people a lot.
Right. Is that where you got the beard now?
Yeah, that's
really
exactly
leaning into
what.
It. When a Jurassic World going to come calling?
That's exactly why I got the beard. That's really interesting. Okay.
So, and then for fictional. So far, you went with Eddie Murphy as you're alive. I went for David Attenborough. Yeah, you went for Hunter S. Thompson. I went for Richard Pryor. For fictional, you went for Patrick Bateman. Whereas for fictional for you, I went with Homer Simpson.
It's a bit of a different vibe.
So, which I don't think
it basically sounds like. Oh, this is because it sounds like you have this idea of me in your head as quite a sweet, innocent person from the choices you've given me, and I've completely shattered that.
I just thought he loves stand up, and the king of stand up is no longer with us. Richard Pryor, fine. David Attenborough, Tom cares about the world. He's a caring person, and he's a buffoon. So, I just thought.
Do you know what? I did the David Attenborough thing a couple of years ago. I did an interview in the Metro, the London magazine. And
it's a newspaper.
The newspaper, yeah, sorry.
That's all right. Get it right. I might get some sponsorship.
One of the things, one of the questions they asked was, what would you do if you were London mayor for a day? And I don't know why I said this, but really wankily, I said I'd plant loads of trees.
Oh, and my God.
I posted the interview on my Instagram, and I got about 15 comedians just completely ripped the piss out of me for saying I'd plant loads of trees. So maybe subconsciously I am a bit like David Attenborough.
Well, I can't speak for your Instagram DMs, but certainly in WhatsApp groups across the country, you were absolutely slated.
Saying I would plant more trees.
In fact, annoyingly, when I read that in the Metro, I set fire to the Metro paper doing damage. So if anything, I don't think you planted a single tree. You had a negative effect on the environment.
I just panicked. I didn't know what to say.
Do you think that helped in getting people come to your show?
I got a lot of environmentalists coming to the show.
Greenpeace came along.
Yeah, and then 16-hour protest. The show's not really about the environment, so they were disappointed. Yeah. As were the people who came just for comedy.
I came to that show. Which show was it? Your first or your second?
That was the one I did at the Leicester Square Theatre, which was the second show.
Oh, okay. I did come along to that one. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's the one where...
Did you come to that show?
Yeah, I came to it up in Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, not the...
Sorry, I didn't come to Leicester. So sorry, no. It was because when I was when we were in Edinburgh, you and I were living together that year. So I sort of felt obliged.
I remember my mum and dad coming up to see me at the festival, and they went to one of the shows. I think they went to like three shows, and yours was one of them.
Yeah, they came to mine three times.
Yeah, they didn't even see mine.
What we've got to do is we've got to do a bit where I pick one of yours to bring to the perfect dinner party, which I'll be hosting. I'm actually staring at these names. This is actually I did always think it would be an obvious choice. But I've got to think for me and who I would want there. I think I'm going to be quite blunt and say Patrick Bateman's not going to make the list.
Okay.
Didn't expect you to sound so hurt by that. Okay, no, fine. I mean, how long is that for this record anyway?
In a very sort of like calm serial killer way. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just add your name to this list here. And then I'll make my own little list.
Your choice, your decision.
it's a tough call, but I think as a comedian, and I am a big fan of Hunter S. Thompson's, I really am. I really did love the Rum Dough growing up.
Yeah.
But I think it would be tough for me to say no to Eddie Murphy. I think he'd be a fascinating person to talk to, and I think it would be mad for either you or me to pass up the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be Eddie Murphy.
Okay. Well, we'll try and set that up, shall we? I think that's a good decision, yeah. And I think if I could have a one-on-one with any of those, it would be Eddie Murphy as well.
Yeah, for your own safety, if anything.
Mainly from a safety point of view, yeah. Yeah.
Cut to Eddie Murphy cutting a bit of steak off your stomach.
I mean, that would be an incredible photo for me to get. What a coup.
Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Have you enjoyed this?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been good.
Oh, well, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been really fun. What have you got coming up? I guess not a lot because the fact that we're during a global health pandemic.
Well, I mean, the best thing, I guess, to talk about or to plug would be the podcast with Maisie, which you can download wherever you get your podcasts. No, it's called That's a First, and it's a show. I host it with Maisie Adam, and we talk to various well-known people about first things they've done in their life. So they come on with two stories about something they've done for the first time, and it's fun. It's funny.
I've listened to an episode. It was very funny, and I assume your BBC thing's still available on iPlayer.
It's on the iPlayer. Yeah, you can watch
despite
that.
Despite my tweets, it's still there.
Despite your campaign to have it removed, it's still there. You can watch that if you so desire.
Yeah, and if anybody, you can follow Tom on is it at It's Tom Lucy?
It's Tom Lucy. No,
are you, is that not you? Who have I been following?
That's the worst Instagram handle ever.
Is it just Tom Lucy?
Tom Instagram, James Lucy. Tom James Lucy, yeah. That's my middle name.
Well, I assumed so.
Yeah. Tom Lucy. Imagine if that was my Instagram name. It's Tom Lucy.
I don't know why I thought it was you. Someone with a Tom name must have an it at the start. Yeah. Right, Tom, thank you for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you, and I hope to see you in the real world soon.
Yeah, I'll invite you to a dinner party.
Lovely ending.
So that was Tom. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, it is guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. And also, please, if you like the podcast, rate it. If you can subscribe, if you can tweet about it, Instagram story about it, tell your friends, anything. It's really appreciated and it does make such a huge difference. And thanks to everybody for listening. And I'll be back again next week with another episode. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.